I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
We broke ground on, I think I said the 18th or the 19th of August 2020, and Aaron all along kept saying we'll be in within the year, it's going to be a 1 year build, and that was his plan, and he was to the letter, he was on track for that plan. And the day that we moved in, I was like, we did it, a year, and he was like, no, it was a year and a day.
Welcome to the next episode of the Get In Our Home series. This is the series designed to help home builders, homeowners and renovators to get inspiration and guidance from industry professionals, but also homeowners themselves. We release a new YouTube episode and corresponding podcast every second Sunday at 7 p.m. My name is Peter Kilmartin, and in this episode, we travel to County Derry to meet Alana and her partner Aaron's stunning home. In this episode, we cover so much, from going the self-build route, getting planning permission, how to save your relationship during a stressful build, interior design tips, and lots more. This house is an absolute cracker, and whatever you do, make sure to check it out on our YouTube channel. It's full of little details and reveals, and even the view alone will honestly just blow you away. I just also want to say thanks very much to the guys. Alana was so kind to myself and my cameraman Tiernan during the day. We had just such a ball, and I cannot thank them both enough. So make sure to check out Alana's Instagram page, Building Number 15 also. So without further ado, I started by asking Alana where she's from and why they decided to build here.
So I'm from Derry City myself. My partner Aaron's from Clody. So he's sort of grew up just down the street there and always wanted to build his home here.
And when he met and started coming out, did he always talk about building here, or was it like, did he have to slowly rein you into here?
No, it's funny because I think we were on our way to like our third date, and we were driving, maybe it was a bit more than that, but it was quite early on. We were going to climb Kirkpatrick and we drove past an ice house, and I went, oh, that's an ice house. And he just goes, if you were going to build a house, what kind of house would you build? And I was like, all right, only met you. But I was telling him, like, I don't know, I'd probably build a two-story house. And he was like, what about a bungalow? You know, when you're old, you might not get up the stairs. And so he always, like, I remember finding that quite funny that he wanted to ask these kind of questions so early on. But obviously, as I got to know him, I knew that that was always his dream, was to build here. So then eventually we decided to do that.
And you know, what was that process like? Because I find it really interesting, like, the couples going out, like, were you ever going to buy a house, or was it always built? Or, like, you know, did you ever even consider, you know, moving abroad for a while? Or, you know, what? How did you come to, okay, let's build a house?
Yeah, Aaron would never move away. So just before I met Aaron, I lived in England for 6 years, and I always kind of lived in big cities, and then I'd come home and was living in Derry when I met Aaron. And I think at that point I would have been happy to move anywhere, because I'm quite used to moving around, but he was always set on living here in Clody. And I think I'd done the big city thing for long enough, and the idea of living in the countryside and having nice views out the window really appealed to me. So I suppose in the back of my mind, I always thought that someday I might build a house, but I'd always imagined buying a house first, and then it didn't happen that way because Aaron was so set on building.
Yeah, sorry, we should mention that Aaron is an engineer, so that was a big factor in him being able to assist and knowing the tricks of the trade and everything like that. So that was a huge help. So you decided to build a house. Was there a number of sites you were looking at here, or was this particular site the only one available? Or how did that work?
We kind of considered planning, and this was, although there's quite a bit of land, this was the most likely to get the planning. So we went for this one. It also happens to have really nice views. We're up the top of a hill and we just loved it. So we used to come for walks up around here. We have two children obviously now, and when my eldest was a baby, we would come for walks around here, and we always sort of stopped up at the top of the hill and had a look down and thought, wow, wouldn't it be class if you could wake up and that would be your view out your bedroom window. So it is now.
Wow. I think saying it's a nice view is an understatement of the year. It's an absolutely stunning view. It's one of the nicest views from a house we've ever seen. So that should be definitely noticed. So you'd always kind of talked about this site and you knew that, you know, this was the place. You know, did you come here and map out the site? Did you know the size of the house? You know, like, because, you know, there's so many options you have when you're building a house. Did you have that conversation around what type of house we're going to build?
So Aaron had... Initially, he just wanted a bungalow. I always wanted two-storey. When it came to planning, we wouldn't have actually got the two-storey. When we consulted with an architect, he said the most you'll get is a storey and a half. So we had compromised there. And we decided to... We kind of looked at what we thought we would get planning for and then worked with that. So I had always imagined the glass-fronted apex front and the central staircase going up the centre. So as soon as we decided to build a house, that was kind of my starting point with designing it.
Where did you get them from?
I don't know. I just think I like the idea of a grand entrance and having loads of natural light. Like when I lived in big cities and even when I lived in Derry, I always lived in houses with tiny windows and small kind of narrow corridors and things. So I had this real desire to live in a big white open space. That felt really connected to the landscape outside. So that was the idea, was that we would have this big glass front. And initially that was actually to face the other way. But then when we started drawing the plans, we realized that as much as it's nice to have the view out your hall, you're not going to sit in the hall and admire the view. So a lot of people get confused and think that the front of the house is the back of the house now.
So which way is south then?
South is that
way. Oh, okay, that makes sense then. Yeah.
So we have obviously the bifolds and the picture windows all facing south. Yeah. So most of the light is coming in there through the day, and then the patio south facing and the garden south facing. So the big glass front, as lovely as it looks, it doesn't actually get that much light throughout the day, but obviously with the size of it, it still gets plenty of nice light and you've got a nice view up onto a field. So it's good. I think we've made the most of the sun path around the house. That was a big factor.
That you're getting it throughout the day.
Yeah, so we had looked at where the sun rises and where it sets, and also just sort of boxing in your mind, if we put a window there, what are we going to be looking at? And trying to use the windows like picture frames and create,
I love that,
you know, the most of the views. So I think we did achieve that. It was quite stressful at times trying to actually position the house, but with Aaron being an engineer, he was able to come out and mark it out. And he did say to me, look, if you want it moved, move it now, because once we start building, you can't move it. And actually, when we did start building, I said, oh, probably should have been a wee bit just down that way a wee bit. And he was like, don't you dare. But no, I'm really happy now with how it's turned out.
And, okay, so you decide to build a two-story, you have your kind of hit list.
Yeah.
And when you got plans, you know, were you nervous about planning permission? Like, had there been houses built recently in the area, you know, because there just seems to be so much talk at the moment. I don't know if you're in North Atlanta, up the north, about housing in the countryside being limited and the countryside being harder and harder to build in.
Yeah.
Was that a factor? Were you worried about that? Did Aaron even comment on that?
We were a bit worried about it, you know. We were concerned, obviously, because the planning process and the cost of planning in itself is quite big. And we did say that, you know, there was a talk that we had where we said, are we wise? Would we be better using that money and putting a deposit down and buying a house? But I think if you're going to go for it, you kind of just have to take a leap of faith. And although we designed the house ourselves, and I actually sat and Aaron drew it all out on AutoCAD, that's why we went and got an architect as well, because the architect was more familiar with the planning process and he was able to keep us right in terms of ridge height and like
the specific details that might need to be changed.
Yeah.
So Aaron actually drew up the house, Alana's happy, Aaron's happy, then you knocked on the architect's door and were like, hey, will you just make sure this is okay for planning?
Yeah.
Wow, that was really smart.
Well, we did the floor plans ourselves and then the architect did all the elevations and he put a roof on the plans and then Aaron changed it because he was trying to save money. So originally we were supposed to have a cut roof because of the shape of our house. And Aaron went to, I think, Rafferty Roof Trusses, and he said to them, look, I want you to design trusses so that we can get the cost down a bit, and they were able to do that. So it was definitely a collaboration between us and the architect. But it was good because I think I'm quite sure of what I want. Like, I knew all along exactly what I wanted, and Aaron's much the same. We're both a wee bit stubborn in that way, and we like to have sort of freedom and control over what we're doing. So I don't think we would have ever been content just going and letting somebody else draw the house for us. I don't know if that made life easier or harder for the architect at times, but we definitely...
But did he make many changes apart from...
No, you know? Not really. One thing, he moved a bathroom because we hadn't really thought about it. Obviously, we're not architects. We had a bathroom where the utility room is on the front of the house. And he was like, well, you can do that, but most people don't. You know, you just don't really want your bathroom facing out to the street. So we swapped that around. But apart from that, and maybe advising on some of the windows and the sizes, obviously, to keep us in line with building regulations, he didn't have a massive amount
to do. A great peace of mind for you guys to know that a professional has still looked at these plans and has given it the A-okay.
Yeah. Oh, we wouldn't have submitted our own. I don't think that's a big risk, because we probably would have missed out on some of the key things that affected the planning. So as much as we wanted full control over the layout and, you know, the floor plans and the spaces inside, it was good to get that opinion, and we did value the advice of the architect.
So you put in for planning. How did planning go?
Planning went well. We got it first time. So we got the outline plans first, obviously, and that was before we decided the layout. And then when we'd put in for our full plans, COVID came along. So we had to wait a few months longer than we expected to get the planning permission. But once we got the decision, it was positive and we were allowed to start building, so it's all good.
That was great, because you hear horror stories of planning, so that was great. So moving on then to the build process.
Yeah.
How did it go? Was there any, you know, hiccups, any mistakes? Was it a smooth sailing journey? You mentioned off camera that it took a year and one day.
So how did it go? We broke ground. In the early days, Aaron and his dad did a lot of work, like marking out the site and preparing the site. And most things went quite smoothly.
So just give me an idea of time. So you broke ground?
We broke ground, I think, the 18th of August, 2020. And it started all happening really quickly. Then the first few weeks, you know, we had block work and found some block work and everything. It started to just go really fast, and it was all very exciting. We were apprehensive because of COVID that there would be delays, and I was hearing from a lot of other people that things were being delayed and they couldn't get appliances and they couldn't get sanitary ware. But I think we were quite fortunate in that the only thing that was really delayed was the windows. And at the time, it seemed everybody was having issues around getting the glazing in on time. So that set us back a wee bit, but we sort of, in the meantime, whilst we were waiting for them, we had all the walls chased. Aaron and his daddy did that too. So they were very hands-on throughout the build. And even during sort of lull periods, there was always something happening. So it did progress quite quickly. And then once the windows were in and we were sealed, it just sort of flew. And I'm saying this now, but at the time it didn't fly. And people go, wow, a year, that's nothing. But actually, when you've got two small children, and I was basically solo parenting for that year, it did drag a bit, and I couldn't wait to get in. And we were lucky, like where we were living before, it was a comfortable enough house. We had space for us all, but it was still quite cramped, really. And I seemed to just be home alone all the time with the children. So I was really excited to get out here and have room to run around. Not to mention we were in lockdown as well. And when you're in lockdown in a small kind of terrace house with very little garden, and you're thinking, oh, I can't wait to have a garden and just be able to walk outside my door and see the nice countryside rather than looking at next door's house. So
I think it's probably the half reason of the series is, like, there is light at the end of the tunnel. Yeah. You do get to the end, because I'd say when you were in the middle of it, and, you know, there was tradesmen and the house was a mess, and, you know, it just seemed like a never-ending journey.
Yeah.
It's great to see you here smiling in your own kitchen and enjoying your home, to see that, you know, you do get to the other end.
You do, yeah, you do. And at times it really didn't feel like we were ever... I mean, there were so many tears. I used to just cry all the time because I was so tired. And I remember asking Aaron loads of times, like, are we wise? Why are we doing this? what are we, you know, we could have bought a house. And he was like, I know, but just keep faith, like it'll be worth it. And it has been worth it, but it's like, even when we moved in, there was a period of maybe 2 months where I feel like I was a wee bit traumatized from the build and from everything that we'd just been through. And then it was like, oh, this is our home now, right? We can relax now, right? But you get into this state of constantly being busy and constantly thinking about all the different decisions that you have to make. I don't think I got a full night's sleep all year. And I would, poor Aaron was tortured. I used to wake him up in the middle of the night. And one night I was like, can you draw me a floor plan of our hall and stairs? Because I have a real feeling it's not what I want it to be. And he was sleeping, like he was asleep. And he was all, what are you talking about? And I said, is it shaped like a U or is it shaped like a H? And he was all, oh, Alana. So he daddy drew it for me, God love him. But that sort of stuff used to happen all the time, you know, and like when it came to picking tiles and anything that was in any way permanent, because you think you're not going to do this again, you have to get it right. But I do feel like we did get it right, and it was worth all that stress and all the tears and the sleepless nights.
And it's even more interesting because you went with the self-build route, so you didn't have a main contractor there, so you were making all those decisions yourselves.
Yeah. I was very lucky because Aaron very much knew what he was doing. Like, he works in construction and he's an engineer, so he always had in his mind a clear picture of the process, you know, and what happens when. And when I got anxious about, oh, what do we need to do next? Or have we booked the next trades? He was always 3 or 4 steps ahead of me. So in that way, it was really good having him there. And he just took control of all that. And every now and then he would say to me, right, you need to start looking at floors, or you need to start looking at doors, or you need to pick this, that, and the other. So he kept me right. And that was a big thing.
What a great asset to have him to be thinking a step ahead.
Yeah.
Do you know, to be able to say, Alana, okay, now it's time to start thinking about X, Y, or Z.
Yeah, definitely. If I didn't have him, I couldn't have done it without a contractor. And like, I'm always in awe of people who have no industry experience at all and who just go and do it themselves. And I'm not surprised that sometimes it takes 3 or 4 years to do it, because if you don't always know what's coming up, if you haven't got that process map of like having your trades booked, and not even just having them booked, but having your quotes, because you can't just go and book the first guy that you find. Like, in order to do it within a budget, you do have to get your 3 quotes for everything. And it's all very time consuming, but we were lucky. We worked as a good team, I think, throughout the build. And we did come to a decision really early on that anything internal, I got the final say, and anything external, he got the final say. And I think that saved a lot of arguments, you know, it really did. Because, for example, he picked the stone for outside, and that's a temporary kind of thing. We will eventually change that. But I was like, oh, stone. And he said, just trust me. And the roof tiles, he chose the roof tiles. He chose, well, we sort of decided on the outside render together, but he decided that we were going for the Parex render. And all along, I was happy to let him make those choices, because I knew that where I would want to put my stamp was the inside, and not once did he question any decision that I made internally, so I'm happy with that.
And how did that go when it got to the internals? Did you really enjoy that?
I loved it. The only thing I wish is that he hadn't spent so much money building the house, because I thought I was going to have a massive budget, and then obviously the way things go, it wasn't as massive as I had expected. But I did do, I think, well, given that the resources were more limited.
Were you shopping around? Were you hunting for bargains? You know, did you have a good, I suppose, plan in your mind when it got this age, or was it kind of here, there, and everywhere?
I never wrote a plan down, but I knew what, as I said, Aaron kept me right with when I needed to look for things. And we had a QS friend do up a rough budget before we started.
Oh, great.
So we were always using that as a guide and going back to it. And Aaron was very, very clever during the construction stage. I should say, actually, he did save us a fair bit of money by shopping around and using his contacts. And really early on, we were looking at the estimated cost and going, oh, we're flying, you know, because he did, like, where he could save money, he saved money. But inevitably, things just all add up. So when it came to the interiors then, I sort of prioritized certain things, like the kitchen and the stairs. And I knew that they were things I wasn't going to change very quickly, so I really went and got exactly what I wanted. I still shopped around, I still got quotes, but I didn't stop myself from getting what I was going to want to keep. The utility room, we made a few compromises just to get it a bit more cost effective, but I think it's still perfectly functioning. And then other areas where I tried to save money were probably the floors. So We tiled most of downstairs, and I did shop around. You can go as expensive as you like when it comes to floor coverings. We both really wanted a polished concrete floor, but when we looked into the cost of it all, and it was kind of coming up a wee bit too much for us. So I found a large format, kind of light grey concrete looking tile. And I was really happy with it because it's also suitable for outdoors. So eventually when we're doing the patio, I'm going to run the same tile outside. So that was a good way of, I think, saving a wee bit of money. Although when I did that, I forgot that you have to pay for grout, adhesive and labour to fit the tiles. So the saving wasn't exactly as much as I thought. But with the rest of the house, we went for a combination of wooden floors and laminate floors. With the laminates, particularly in the upstairs, in the kids' bedrooms, in the office, in the playroom, I really sought out bargains. Like, I don't think you have to spend a fortune to get a nice looking floor that's hard wearing and they'll last us as long as we need them, really.
I have to ask the million-dollar question that you get asked all the time. Tell me the colour of your kitchen.
So the colour of the kitchen is, it's a Farrow and Ball colour and it's called Intura Blue. And it, some people think it's green, some people think it's blue, some people think it's like a grey. It's kind of a combination of all three, and I love it. And it seems to be something that everybody comments on about the house, is the colour of the kitchen.
And you put in a pantry in the kitchen as well. Was that always on the plan, or how did you find that?
Yes, so actually in my mind I loved the idea of a walk-in pantry. But when we did our floor plans, there was no logical place to put a pantry, because where our larder cupboard is now, you would have been losing space in your hallway, and the squareness of the hallway is kind of the appeal of our hallway. So without adding an extension outside and upsetting the outside layout of the house, there was no logical place to put a pantry. So we did work with the kitchen designer and design a really well functioning larder cupboard. So that kind of conceals all the small appliances and it's got plenty of storage. So that was always in my mind, was having kind of clear worktops and only having things sitting out that look nice, not having like crumbs from your toaster and everything on display.
I love that. I want to ask you about something that we talked about off camera, the Hoover system or the vacuum system.
Yeah.
Tell me about that, because I don't really know a huge amount about that.
Yeah, so we installed a Beam Central vacuum system, and it's brilliant, I really love it. So what it is a central vacuum unit that's concealed inside a cupboard in the utility room, and then we have six inlets throughout the house, and you just plug your Hoover hose into that, and it you can hoover from anywhere, so it saves carrying a hoover around. We've actually got a hose upstairs and one downstairs, and it's great. And the suction on it's brilliant. And I think my favourite feature of it is that it has an exhaust, so any excess dust, where on a lot of traditional hoovers that dust kind of recirculated around your house, it's vented outside. So it made the dust when we moved in. Everybody talks about all this dust when you move into a self-build and it's there for months and months, and ours wasn't. It was gone within a few weeks, you know, the most of it. So I think that was a big part of it.
And then do you have to change like Hoover bags, or how do you do that?
No, so it's a bagless system.
Okay.
And you just, I think I've done it twice since we moved in. Usually it lasts you about 6 months, but obviously we had a lot of dust at the start.
Yeah.
So you just clip it off, take it out.
So it's just like a bin.
It's exactly like a bin. Now you empty that into the outside bin and bring it back, and that's it done.
Brilliant. I love the idea of just like, you know, hoovering it into each room nearly.
Yeah. And then the vac pans as well. So we've added two vac pans and they're great. Like, if you don't want to get the hoover out and do the whole area, you can just brush up. And there's like a wee switch on the kicker board, you just kick it and it sucks the dirt away.
Brilliant. And that's connected to the same system as everything else?
Yeah, so it all goes into the same area. It's funny because whenever I told my younger cousin, I said, we're going to build a house, you know. And he was like, all right. I said, build my dream house. And he goes, class, are you going to have a swimming pool? And I was like, no, but I'm going to have a utility room. And he was all... right. But it's funny because it made me think, like, if you'd asked me when I was 18 about my dream house, it probably would have had a swimming pool, but I'm a bit more practical now.
And yeah, it's a utility room and a vacuum system.
Vacuum system, yeah. And a utility room, yep.
Living the dream.
That's me.
So I want to go then, so try to build then, you know, was there any major challenges, any major hiccups? Was there anything that in hindsight you might have changed, so you might have done a bit differently?
I don't think we had any real hiccups.
You know, because Lana, like a lot of people watching this are about to start building a process, or about to start their own. Would you have any advice for them in terms of whatever you do this or don't do that? You know what I mean?
I think one thing would be design your kitchen as early as possible. These days, most people think of their kitchen as the heart of their home, and we had already the floor plans done. So when I did go design in a kitchen, I was a bit restricted in what I could have. We did make it work for us, but as I said, the idea of having the pantry and stuff, we could have maybe incorporated that if we'd gone earlier. So if I was starting again, I would meet with a kitchen designer before I put in the full plans.
Well, okay.
Yeah, just to be sure, because obviously then...
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello? Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Once you do start building, everything happens so quickly, and the plumber's there and he says, where do you want your sink? And if you haven't thought about that ahead of times, or even things like washing machines and fridges and cookers, all that pipework needs to go in. So the earlier you can decide on layouts for the important rooms like that, the better. What else?
Yeah, but it's really interesting because even as you mentioned, if you really wanted a pantry, you were kind of restricted in this layout.
Yeah.
And things like that people might have, like must-haves or whatever,
yeah,
that,
exactly,
that they could be limited if they hadn't thought about it earlier on.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know Aaron's brother, when they decided to build their house, that was what I said to them, was go and get your kitchen planned first. And I think they did make a few changes based on that consultation that they had, and they also actually went as far as to go and plan their bathrooms as well before they'd even applied for planning. I think probably the people in the bathroom showroom were like, what are you doing? But again, if you can, go and do it, because it makes your life easier when it comes to making these decisions down the line if you've already thought it through. And even in the early days, there's a lot of waiting around, so you could have your plans in and then be sitting on your hands for a few months, or you can go out and start shopping around and getting quotes and lining everything up. And again, that's the part that Aaron took on very much, was the planning and the management of the build. And I think he did a wonderful job on that. So I would advise anybody, especially if you're going the self-build route, to be very, very organized and write out a process map. And if you don't have the experience yourself, ask trades, ask people who've built, find out, yeah, what do I need to be doing now? Because you shouldn't really have time to sit and think. If you're doing it and you're doing it efficiently, you should always be doing something, which is what we did, I think, very well.
Did you find that very stressful?
Yes. Yes.
Because it just takes over your life.
It does. It does. In a way, we were lucky that we did it during COVID, because we had no temptation to go out or go on holidays, or like I couldn't even get a hair appointment or a nail appointment. So we saved a lot of money because we had no life, really. And I suppose building the house gave us something to focus on, and it actually did give us a lot of hope that we were going to come out of this pandemic and we were going to have something amazing to show for it. And that even coming up and visiting the site before we started building, you know, just standing up there and going, oh, someday, you know, we're going to live here and isn't that going to be amazing? And it really got us through a lot of hard times. So as much as I say it was stressful, and it was very stressful, there were also a lot of really happy moments throughout. And that's something I tell everybody, is like, you have to celebrate the good points. Like, we have wee box of champagne corks from the day that we got our planning approved, and the day that we got our mortgage approved, and the day that we broke ground. And like, we didn't just spend the year drinking champagne, but you kind of have to do something to mark the occasion and to give yourself a boost, because it's a long process and it's a difficult process. And if you allowed yourself to get really bogged down in how stressful it is, you wouldn't carry on. Like, you have to keep thinking about the end goal. And when you get there, it's brilliant. Like, this will be our first summer now in the house. And even just like a day like today, being able to open the bifolds and walk outside and have a coffee, that makes me so excited.
Yeah.
Like, it gives me butterflies, because that's a moment that I visualized and I imagined over and over and over. And now it's
actually happening. Like, like, I think you're really right though, and like, you need to celebrate the small wins, because it is all about small wins. You get the planning, you get the mortgage.
I'm gonna cry.
I never asked you about the mortgage process. How was that?
It was all right. I mean, it wasn't ideal. We were very limited with being a self-build. A lot of mortgage companies
don't
want
to. And then did you go with a broker, or did you have a couple of companies that did it on the hit list? How did that work?
So we actually did go to a mortgage broker to get his advice. And he said, Joss, you've only got, you're kind of limited here in the north. I think we had AIB and there was another building. What do you call
whatever
it? Aye, there was like two or three places we could go. And we tried them and they said no.
Oh, okay.
Because it's a farm dwelling and we've got a shared access with the farm, it was all quite complex for them. Some of them wouldn't even consider the application. Like Bank of Ireland, who Aaron's always banked with, just said no outright. And then eventually one of them did approve it, but the terms were really strict.
Right.
And they weren't very favourable at all for us. And then in the end, Aaron went directly to Ulster Bank. So you can't use your broker to go to Ulster Bank. For some reason, they don't work with third parties. We had to go direct to them, and they thankfully approved it. And the terms were more favourable than what we'd been offered elsewhere. So we ended up going with them. But when we did that, they were basically our last resort. You know, it was either them or not very good option, and we were just really, really grateful that they took us on.
Because you know, they knew they have you. You know, like, they have you kind of by the ring of the neck. You know, you kind of have to go their turn, which is hilarious. How did you find then the moving in process? Was it stressful? Was there, you know, at what point did you say okay? And was there like a date in mind that you had, or you know?
Yeah. So we did start. We broke ground on, I think I said, the 18th or the 19th of August 2020, and Aaron all along kept saying we'll be in within the year, it's going to be a 1 year build, and that was his plan, and he was to the letter, he was on track for that plan. And the day that we moved in, I was like, we did it, a year. And he was like, no, it was a year and a day. And like, he was actually disappointed that we didn't get, but I was like, that's amazing. You know, about 2 weeks before we moved in, I was telling everybody, I said, the joiner, this is the date we're moving in, so everything will be done. And he laughed at me. He was like, no, right. But we had no choice. We had put it in our minds. We had no choice. We did have a choice. But obviously the house that we were renting had more tenants that wanted to move in. And that girl was expecting a baby. So in my mind as well, I was thinking, she needs this house before she has her baby. So that kind of put the pressure on. And once we had booked the kitchen and the stairs to be fitted, we knew that we could move in then. You know, we had the plumbing, we had the floors down. It might not have been totally finished, but we could move in. And actually, when we did move in, it was a lot more finished than we thought it would be. If we didn't have two toddlers, we probably would have moved in long before that and just lived here and done it as we went. But we kind of had to have it in a good state of repair for moving in here with them. But it was exciting. You know, unfortunately, about 3 weeks before we moved in, we came down with COVID. So the last, I know, and this was obviously when self-isolating and that, you still had to do it for like 2 weeks or whatever. So we did a lot of FaceTime with tradesmen in the last couple of weeks, and that was really, really hard, not actually being on site and not actually being here to say, oh, put it this high or move it that way. And I, as two people who like to be involved and like to be in control and hands-on, that was really difficult. But in a way, I think it was nearly like the universe was telling us, slow down and chill out because you've done enough now. And we did, we kind of rested up for a couple of weeks. And when I wasn't feeling sick, I packed up our house. And we just had like 2 weeks of getting organized and mentally getting organized as well. And then I think we were out of isolation and we moved within the week. So it was all go.
And come here, like, you know, that week moving in and the last tradesmen and, you know, you're packing and you're probably up and down this road like a yo-yo, moving or whatever, you know, it's super stressful.
Yeah.
When you have that first night's sleep, you know, what was it like in the morning when you woke up? Was there like a turn to each other? You know, what? Tell me about that moment.
It was brilliant. So it was like Christmas. So what happened was we had been so busy all day. I think my mommy took the kids all day and we were just in and out and doing everything. And our bedroom wasn't actually finished yet. So the first night's sleep, we were in our daughter's room and her cot was there and our son's bed was done up. And the kids were actually asleep when they came home that evening. So we just lifted them into bed, still sleeping. And I think we were that tired. We had the one wee glass of champagne toast, went to bed. We slept so well because we were just so tired. And when we did wake in the morning, obviously the kids hadn't been here yet. They just moved in whilst they were sleeping. So for them, it was really exciting. And we were waking them up. We were like, look, you're in your new house. And they were coming round. And they'd seen the house throughout the build process. And they'd been here, but they'd never seen it sort of livable and with our stuff in it. And they were just amazed. So it was lovely. It was lovely to kind of show it to them and for us to just take a breath and realize that we were here. But it did take a wee while longer than that to actually for it to feel like a home, which I found strange. I think because we'd spent so much time here and we'd planned every inch of it, I expected that straight away we would just feel at home here. And I'd heard other people say, oh, you just know when you move in, that's it, you feel at home. And I don't think we did. I think it took us a wee while because we had been so stressed for so long. It was like adjusting then to a slower pace of life and being able to, you know, actually sleep through the night and get up in the morning and explore your house as someone who lives there and unpacking. Obviously that's a process that takes a while. So I think now we're here 7 months and I unpacked the last of the boxes last week. So
you're finally in.
Finally in now. It was only a couple of, you know, like books and things that you don't really need that much. So finally unpacked and it definitely does feel like a home now. It's lovely.
That's lovely. What would be your favorite part of your home?
I think my kitchen is definitely my favourite part, and part of that being the outside, because the kitchen very much feels like a part of the outside space. So when the sun's shining and the bifolds are open, this whole area, this is just my favourite place to be. I love it. And also the utility room. It's handy to have a utility room.
Sorry, did you just say the utility room?
The utility room.
Is your favourite other home?
It's a close second. I know, that's sad, isn't it?
No, I understand. And you put up the hanging laundry. So tell me about that.
So that was an idea I got off Instagram. I can't remember the names of the accounts now, but I'd seen a few accounts on Instagram had a rail for hanging things up. And I always thought that was handy because like shirts and dresses and things, when you take them out of the washing machine, you're best to just hang them up straight away. So that was why. And then when we designed the room, it just kind of made sense to have it across the two windows. And I did sort of worry that people looking in will just see our clothes hanging up, but I kind of don't care. Eventually we'll have blinds and realistically not that many people walk past our house because we're quite rural. So it's good. It's very, very practical.
Tell me about like what's next? What's next on the to-do list? I'm sure Anna has a big hit list, but you know, what's the next big priority?
At the moment I'm just working on making it a wee bit more homely, so I've just started adding like wee bits of furniture and styling some corners and adding like maybe artwork. So I would like to get some more framed pictures on the walls, And when the budget allows, we're going to do a wee bit outside. So hopefully we'll do the patio, and that'll make a big difference. But there's not really much. At the minute, I think we just need to enjoy it for a while. Like, we've got long-term plans. Like, we do intend to add a sunroom someday. But at the moment, we've more than enough space than we need. So I just enjoy it.
Yeah, so tell me that. So you future-proofed the home how?
With for the heating system, for example, we installed an air source heat pump, and especially now with the rising fuel prices, we're really, really glad that we did that. So we have underfloor heating throughout the house, upstairs and downstairs, and that's operated by, or that's run off an air source heat pump. So that was a big thing. We also zoned the heating, which is quite a common thing now anyway, but we've got a thermostat in almost every room, so we can control the temperature throughout the house. And we added, sorry.
How are you finding the air source unit? Are you noticing big electricity bills? Are you finding the house is always roasting?
The house does tend to be quite warm, but you can. We're still figuring out what temperature suits us to set it at. We've got Wi-Fi controlled thermostats, so Aaron's obsessed with checking the temperature of the house whilst he's at work. And if I'm home working from home, he's like, text me, close the doors, you know, because he can tell that the heat's whatever's happening with the heat. So I can't remember what I was talking about.
You were talking about the air to water unit.
The air to water unit, yeah. So it does tend to be, if anything, too warm rather than too cold, but that's okay because we can always crack a window and then it's back to normal.
Yeah.
We did find when it was very, very cold outside, it got a wee bit chilly inside the house, but it wasn't anything drastic.
Yeah.
And we do have a chimney, and we intend on adding a wood burning stove down the line, which we'll probably not use that often, but on those really cold winter nights then
it's nice to have by.
And at Christmas, like I just kept saying when we were building, I just can't picture Christmas without a fire. So
it's a really Irish thing, isn't it?
It's a very expensive ornament really, but it'll be nice. I think it'll bring warmth to that room.
And tell me about this window.
So this window here, at the moment it's a nice picture window, but we added the lintel above it so that in the future we can put a sunroom on there as well. I did love the idea of open plan living, but Aaron really wanted to keep the living room separate, so our living room is just off our kitchen, but he kept saying about privacy and wanting a separate space, and I'm actually glad now that we're in that we did do that, because I would have probably had most of downstairs fully open. But you can hear already there's an echo, and it's nice to have a bit of a quiet space. So we've got that, and then down the line, if we want to open that up and have a sunroom there, it'll give us that open plan living space as well, and just a bit more entertaining space for when we've got guests, right?
Well, what a great, you know, future-proofing element to think that far ahead to go, okay, well, if we need to do that, we can do that.
Well, that was Aaron and his compromise again. Like he said, look, he didn't want to put the sunroom in, and I did. And he said, we'll put the lintel in, it'll be done. All we ever have to do is knock through the bottom part of the wall, and it's quite a straightforward extension. So that was him compromising there. And to be honest, we don't really feel the need for a sunroom right now, but I just like the idea of down the line having a wee cosy, like snug.
Yeah.
So.
What is something you wish somebody told you before you started your build? What's the one thing you wish somebody told you?
I think we got some good advice halfway through, which was as a couple, try and have at least one night a week where you don't talk about it. And when we got that advice, I was like, oh, that's good advice. Because at that point we were like, flat out, it was all we ever talked about. And it was actually, it does start to wear on your relationship a bit, because you're just constantly stressing over things. So that advice was very good. And if I could give that to somebody at the very start, if you're going into a build and you're in a couple, try and keep at least one night a week where you just have like a wee date. Even if you're trying to save money and you just have a takeaway in the house, and make it a rule that you don't talk about the house. It's really, really hard because you do become obsessed, but I think it's important, and it gives you both a break from constantly thinking about the house. And I don't know if anything else.
I actually really like that advice. And that's something we've never heard before, but it's probably something that should be really considered, that all you talk about is the house, and it just becomes this obsession between you both. And nearly like a boiling pot, you know, that
yeah.
if anything goes wrong, it just, you know, it's fermenting in each other.
Well, I remember when we got the planning permission and we were drinking the champagne, we were so excited. And Aaron said, oh, you know, Kevin MacLeod said one time that if you want to test a relationship or a marriage, I think, if you want to test a marriage, build a house. And I was like, what? Why did he say that? And he was like, well, I suppose it's stressful. And then I was all, oh, I hadn't really thought about that, about how it was going to affect us, because we were just so excited about it at that point. But I suppose having that in the back of my head made me realise that, right, okay, we might be annoying each other, but it's probably normal, because it's a hard thing to do. I suppose it's a bit like having a child. You do become obsessed with the house. The house was like our third baby. And it got certainly all of Aaron's attention and most of my attention for a year, which is a long time to be obsessing over something.
Did you get to have housewarming? Did you get to have the family over and enjoy it yet? Or did COVID kind of put a stop to that?
Well, we didn't have the big housewarming that we had hoped for because of COVID, but we did, when the restrictions started easing, we started having these big Sunday dinners where we'd invite everybody up. Partly because we wanted to have a bit of a housewarming, and partly because we were in debt to them all so much. Because when we were building the house, we were forever eating in Aaron's mommy's house or my mommy's house, and they did a lot of babysitting for us so that we could run here, there and everywhere and, you know, look at kitchens and tiles. We definitely couldn't have done it without the help of our families. So we did try and have a few big gatherings that we, you know, when we could invite them all around. And then Christmas was the first time we kind of had everybody here, except not everybody, because COVID. But you know, those that could come came.
That was lovely.
It was amazing.
Was everybody's thoughts on your house? Because they'd probably seen it on Instagram and seen you and Aaron go crazy to last year. Like, what was everybody's thoughts when they first came?
I think everybody thought it was brilliant. Like, a lot of, to be fair, a lot of our family members were quite hands-on with the build as well.
So they would have been calling in.
Like, Aaron's daddy basically lived on site. He just lives down the street, and he was here every day opening up and closing up and chipping in and labouring. So I don't know what he was probably just glad that it was finished. but everybody else, they still say all the time how brilliant it is. And whenever we plan like parties for the Wayne's birthdays and that, I said this year to Mommy, geez, everybody's coming. Normally there's a few people who can't come. She says, they're all coming to see your house. It's like, do you think? But everybody does say all the time how lovely it is. And you kind of forget sometimes when you've lived here then that, like, it is it's a bit amazing.
Yeah, it's absolutely wild. When we first came in, we said the same thing. It's just a wild house. It really blows you away. So credit to you both for that.
Thank you.
I just want to go back to the build process. We're nearly finished. Just want to go back to the process. Was there much that you were doing, like, hands-on yourselves? Did you do, you know, the painting? Were you putting up skirting boards? Were, you know, how much actual, like, hands-on labor were you and Aaron actually doing?
So Aaron did quite a lot. He and his dad did all the chasing for the electrics. They did all they did a lot of the insulation. We had pumped cavity insulation and beaded floor insulation, but all the other insulation they did themselves. They were here a lot. I did what I could, but most of my role was staying home with the kids, and then going off and sourcing things and materials and looking at skirting architrave doors.
And were you doing a lot of shopping around land? Was that something that you were doing a lot of?
When I could, yeah. I did a lot of looking online, and then as soon as, because obviously a lot of the showrooms were shut for a large portion of the time as well, I spent weeks with these two catalogues of toilets. I remember thinking, this is a real low point in my life. Like, I spent about 3 weeks looking at toilet catalogues. But it was worth it, because I ended up getting a really good deal on our three bathroom suites, and they, I think they look amazing. So I did a lot of that side of it, and Aaron was here much more hands-on. When I did get a chance to get up, I did a lot of mucking out and cleaning, and I helped a bit with some of the insulation inside the window frames. So I was a bit nervous about that in case we had any leaks, but so far so good.
Fingers crossed. My last question is this your forever home?
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't think that there's a change of plans or a rebuild in the future?
No, I don't think we'd ever put ourselves through it again, to be honest. I don't know. I don't think we would leave it because it's Aaron's home. If we had just bought the site and built the house, there'd probably be the temptation, not anytime soon, but maybe down the line we'd go, actually, we'll build a smaller house, or we'll build a bungalow or a different size or shape. But we knew when we were doing this that this was going to be our forever home, so we did try and keep that in mind all the time, and build a house that would grow with us and with our family. like you talked about future proofing, so at the minute we've got a playroom, but that was always designed as a second living room, or even further down the line, a bedroom, you know, if we can't get up the stairs. Although I was saying yesterday about, sure, we could put a lift, and my friend was like, oh, you could put a lift in your hallway, because there's a big space there. And it sounds a wee bit silly to think about things like that, but if you're planning on living somewhere forever, you kind of do.
Yeah.
So, my.
It's been really, really lovely talking to you. And what's really lovely about it is that you're smiling, you're giggling, you're here with your mum, and you're enjoying your home, which is probably the nicest part of it. As I said from the start, that, you know, for people to see you enjoying your home, it's probably inspiring for them that are on their own journey, you know, that there is life in the tunnel.
Aye.
If people want to find you or get in touch with you, if it's okay, where's the best place to do that?
So on Instagram, the handle is building number 15, and you can find me on there.
Number 15, where's that from?
So the house number is 15.
Oh.
And actually I had this conversation with a girl from, where is she from? Somewhere down south.
Yeah.
Athlone. And she asked that. Now, we've been friends on Instagram for a long time, and she said, why did you call your house number 15? I was like, because it's the street number, but apparently down around there, they don't have that.
Yeah, I wouldn't have had 15 here. Like, you know, you'd probably see it in an estate or something where it's like 1, 2, 3, 4.
No, well, there's a couple other houses. It's a big road. There's not many houses on it, but there are a few other houses. And I think down the way is number, hang on, I'm going to get it wrong, 11.
Right.
And then there's a space, and then there's us. But Aaron always played number 15 in the football.
Right.
And so he said, well, that space can be number 13 and we'll be number 15.
Right.
And then up the road is 17, 19.
Right. So it's the evens on one side and odds on the other.
Yeah, okay. So it's all odds on this side. There's not many houses on the other side, but that's just the way it's done. I don't know.
Right. Thank you very much. I really
thank
appreciate
you. Thanks, Peter. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. Don't forget to check out the guys on Instagram at building number 15. I'll also post their details in the description box below. And also don't forget to check out their YouTube episode on the Get In Our Home YouTube channel. Thanks so much and see you all next time.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.